Good evening, church. Tonight's Bible readings come from the book of Proverbs. We have three of them. The first one is from Proverbs 1, which is on page 625 of the Pew Bible. It's a bit longer, so you can follow along in the Bible if you like. Otherwise, we've also got these sheets that have all three of the readings. Beginning with Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 to 19. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Exhortations to embrace wisdom. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin, for they are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. And now Proverbs 13, chapter 19. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. And Proverbs 16, verse 32. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray once more as we approach God's word. Lord God, we thank you that you, in your kindness, teach us the way in which we should go. Lord, thank you that by your word, you give us heavenly wisdom to know how to live. Lord, help us to be teachable and responsive to your word. Lord, help us as we reflect on your word to grow more and more in the love of Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. One summer in high school, my brother worked in a distribution center for a company, which meant that he spent the entire summer folding cardboard boxes from a flattened shape into the shape of a box. And the next year, my brother had over his desk in his room one of those boxes. And on the cover, he had written, "It's school or this." And then if you stepped closer and you looked inside the box, he had written, "School has sports." That's an illustration, isn't it, of how hard it is to maintain discipline. Last week, we considered the importance of discipline. But it's one thing to know discipline is important. It's another thing to have it. And you could see there, even in those two things that my brother had written on those box, one was a warning to himself. If he was not disciplined, this is what his future would hold. That's very similar to that passage in Proverbs 1 that Jonah read for us. If you pursue this way, this is what will happen. But it's not enough just to know how things will go badly if we pursue in foolishness. Which is why Josh had that reminder, school has sports. He was trying to motivate himself with something he cared about more. How do we learn from that? How do we consider how to grow in self-control? Well, I think maybe a better way to ask the question is, why do we lose control? What happens in our hearts when we do things that we know we shouldn't? Why do we indulge in temptations that we know will just make us feel gross afterwards? Well, Paul tells us in Galatians 5, he says, the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other. They keep you from doing the things you want. Or James in chapter 4 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? We lose self-control because within us, each one of us has competing, fighting desires. We want things that are not compatible with each other. Notice the problem is not that we have desires. The problem is having desires that are not good, that make us, that because of those desires, we love the wrong things too much. And that is helpful for us to understand why self-control is so hard. When we lose self-control, what's happening? Well, one desire in particular feels really, really strong within us. It seems to surge in its strength and its significance to our life. And in that moment, when we give in to a desire that we know is bad, it's because in that moment we believe that that desire is best. You will always choose the thing that you believe deep down will be best. So you might resist eating as many sweets as you want in the moment because you believe that having better health in general is going to give you a better life. And that is better than enjoying the sweet things right now. And conversely, when you eat more sweets than you should, it's because you believe the sugar rush is worth the price your arteries will pay. You choose not to yell at your friend when they frustrate you because you value that friend more than you do the catharsis of yelling. Or you think that letting them have it will feel better is more important than maintaining the friendship. You choose what you believe will be better. And that is why self-control is hard. Consider that last proverb. Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. It is easier, Solomon says, to conquer a city than it is to conquer your own temper. That's why we lose self-control. That might help us understand why self-control is difficult, but it also helps us understand the path to having self-control. See, self-control needs a directed purpose. It needs a goal, something that you really truly believe is better than the thing that you're going to say no to. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we love is what we choose. And you will sacrifice. You will sacrifice things in your life for the things that you love better. You do it all the time. That was the downfall of the rich ruler, you know. He was willing to do all kinds of good things according to the law, but when he had to choose between Jesus or his money, he chose his money because that was what he loved. And he loved his money more than he loved Jesus. The Puritan Thomas Watson says this. He says, who will not deny himself for a friend that he loves? He will part with anything he has. He will help him who he loves, even though it's to his own loss. And so he whose heart is fired with love for Christ will stop at nothing for his sake. Love of God will devour self-love. Love of God will devour self-love. How do you have self-control? You desire something that you know will be more enjoyable. Or as Proverbs 13:19 says, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. And self-control is not about saying no as much as it is as believing that there is something better to be gained. You can't just deny yourself for no reason. You know, that's why for those of us who have tried to lose weight, they advise you to pick a specific goal, a specific number on the scale, or to get ready for a specific family event, you know, so you can look good at that wedding or impress people at that family reunion. Because having a clear, concrete goal that you're working towards helps you in the present when you want to deny yourself. If you're just saying, I should eat better, period, you will get tired of that pretty quickly. Or to put that in another way, being self-controlled cannot bring you to Jesus, but the love of Jesus will bring self-control. The love of Jesus will bring self-control. When you love Jesus better, you will be able to say no to things that are not as good. If we want self-control, we must cultivate our desires. We must desire the best things most. Self-control needs a purpose. It's also helpful to understand that self-control is a habit, which means as you build it, it comes more naturally. But beginning it is hard work. You know, this is the difficulty of getting rid of an addiction. Because whether it's something that is an actual substance changing your brain chemistry or something else that you have just addicted yourself to, your brain is wired to crave those benefits right now. It's easy for us to lose sight of what is true in the long term when we crave something right now. And in those moments when we crave something right now, we do not just need our hands slapped away, though sometimes we do need that. We also need to build a habit of desiring something better. All right, so if you are wanting to stop smoking, you need to reflect on how much better it is to have healthy lungs than it is to have nicotine. Because in the moment where you're craving that fix, you need to reflect on what will be better in the long run. And friends, likewise with sin, you have to train your heart over and over to believe that what God says to us in His Word is not just correct, it's also good. It's to be delighted in, to recognize that the enjoyment that sin offers us in the now is nothing more than a sugar high. It will come and it will leave you worse than you were before. And it will diminish your appetite for the best thing of all. Friends, the good news is cultivating that kind of desire doesn't just depend on you making yourself want the right things. We considered that promise in Galatians. God has promised you, Christian, a new spirit, His Holy Spirit. He has given you a new heart. And you realize what we're saying when we say that. It means that God is giving you new, better desires. The old man is still kicking and fighting for now. But God, by His Spirit, has changed you if you have trusted in Him. So that now you have desires for what is good. They may feel weak at times, but you have them. You did not gain a desire for God just by thinking really hard and making yourself start to love God. He gave you a new heart. He caused you to be born again to an eternal hope. And fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we want more of God, when we want to hear more of what God says, more than we want to express our own opinions, we are happy to learn from Him how to grow and change. When we desire to please the Lord, we will be happy to deny our own desires for His sake. That's not just a nice thing that Christians add on the end to make something sound more godly. That is our motivation. When we desire to receive rewards from the Lord's hand, to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we will be more than willing to give up the cheap baubles that this world offers us. Because this is how Jesus Himself taught us to prepare for the hard work of self-control, of fighting against sinful desires. Hebrews 12. "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Consider how Jesus obeyed the Father even to the point of dying at the cross, because there was greater joy to be had on the other end. And fix your eyes on Jesus and do the exact same thing. Recognize that your sin is not offering you an equal alternative opportunity to drawing near to the Lord. It is trash tripping up your feet. When our attention is fixed on the Lord, who is better, we will desire better things. We should remember that beautiful phrase from the Puritan Thomas Chalmers: "The best way to fight sin is with the expulsive power of a new affection. A better and new love pushes out other loves in our heart." Self-control is not found in the path of the Stoics, who tell us the best way to become the most self-controlled is to always kill our desires. No, self-control is found in desiring the best things most. So very practically, our world right now, or our culture, is hypersexualized. It tells us all the time that physical intimacy is the best thing to desire. Our friends, recognize that the world is trying to sell you a worse version of intimacy. Intimacy that is free and without commitment and outside the bonds of marriage is bad and worse than intimacy in the way that the Lord has intended it to be. And even that good gift within the confines of marriage is not a better gift than intimacy with the Lord God Himself. Put those desires in their proper place. Recognize when someone is trying to convince you to settle for something that will ruin your appetite for what is best. And remember that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, which means you should ask the Spirit to give you more of it if it comes from Him. So go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to help you grow in self-control. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples when they kept on falling asleep in the garden and they couldn't even keep awake for 1 hour? He said this in Matthew 26, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." The English minister Charles Bridges said this, "He who has been born of the Spirit and who has learned the weakness of his own heart feels that effective self-control is of divine grace, not his own native strength." So what is to be done? Well, on the first assault, fortify the walls with prayer. Have not repeated defeats taught you the need of calling on a better strength than your own? Friends, prayer should not be a later resort when you feel overwhelmed by temptation. Fortify the walls on the first assault. And remember that while you must cultivate and exercise self-control in yourself, remember that He has also given us other Christians to help us learn to exercise self-control. One of the ways that God will answer your prayers to grow in self-control is to provide you with brothers and sisters in Christ. It is not cheating to ask others to help you grow in self-control. You know, I grew up with the story of a little Dutch boy who found a hole in the dike. You know, most of the Netherlands is below sea level, and there are dikes that prevent the land from being flooded. And there's a story, I don't know if it's true or not, of a little boy on his way home from school who saw a leak, and he stuck his finger in the leak and plugged it. And he stayed there until help came. Now, his finger was not a sufficient solution to the problem, but it was an important step in buying time until the walls could be fortified. And friends, that's what you ought to be for one another. Don't be afraid to ask others to stand as stopgaps to help you grow in self-control. Very practically, do not be afraid or ashamed to give someone else parental controls over your smartphone. Do not be afraid to give other people the passwords for social media accounts that tempt you to indulge in ways that you shouldn't. When you are worn out and you are tired and you're about to lose it with your children, it is not cheating to ask your spouse to take them out of the house for maybe an hour so you can catch your breath before interacting with the children. Be willing to ask help from others to help you grow in self-control. Be willing to stand in the gap for others. I think of the story of Abigail. When King David was on the run from Saul, he asked a rich man from his same tribe, a man named Nabal, to help him. You can read about this in 1 Samuel 25. And Nabal responded by insulting David and provoking him. David became so angry that he was going to kill Nabal until Abigail, Nabal's wife, met David on the way. She intervened and she protected her husband from David's unrighteous anger, and she protected David from indulging his unrighteous anger. Later, when Nabal died, David married Abigail. He loved her because of how she helped him exercise self-control. This is what he said to her: "You have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand." Brothers and sisters, show love to each other in this way. Stand in the gap. Point each other away from what will destroy them, and point each other towards what is good and worth chasing after. When you see a brother or a sister walking down a path resolutely towards something that you know is sinful, be like Abigail and stand in the gap. Point them to the better path. You know, parents, those of you whose children are still at home, recognize that you have a unique opportunity now to begin the habit of self-control in your children. That will set them up not just for a better life in general, but a better ability to pursue the Lord and resist temptation. You know, you might hear people say to you, "Oh, your kids are young. You can't expect them to have that kind of control right now." However true that might be right now, realize that you can help them begin to lay into place the beginnings of what will grow into good self-control later. Help them learn now while you're still in the same house with them. But all this that I've talked about of others being able to help and stand in the gap, remember that it's all just buying time. None of it can replace your obligation to cultivate in your heart desires of the best things most. To grow in self-control, you must fill your mind with thoughts of Jesus and remember and reflect often on how beautiful, how wonderful, how glorious he is. And so often we rush from what Christ has done for us to what we ought to now do because of what he's done for us. But if we rush too quickly, we will cut out from under ourselves the motivation to do any of it. It's only in beholding him in his splendor, in reflecting on how lovely and good our God is, that we will ever want to say no to the pleasures of this world. So we must remind ourselves often how lovely he is, so that we will desire the best things most and drive out our taste for garbage. Self-control is only gained by loving Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that even when it is so hard to exercise self-control, even when it is so hard to believe that what you have said is true, that you are better than what we can see with our own eyes, Lord, that even then you are still gracious to help us. Lord, help us to not resist or scorn your counsel or your good gifts. Lord, grow in us by your Spirit a heavenly appetite. Help us to be dissatisfied with what the world offers. Help us to be only satisfied with the best thing, you most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.